It's a great song. Things do look different from the shepherd's point of view. If we could see things the way that God sees them, would there be any need for faith? No. Because we would know exactly what He knows. But we can trust that because He knows, that because He cares for us as His sheep, that shepherd is going to take care of us, and we can put our faith and our confidence in that. Steve, you preached this morning. I don't really need to say anything. Good job, bud. Appreciate that. Well, since I have the time, made a few notes. I was with my wife yesterday at the St. Vincent's de Paul. That's our, many times, our Saturday morning date. It was the corner cafe and then a couple thrift stores before we just get real serious about our day. And I was looking through pants. Always looking for, you know, pants, jeans or t-shirts or whatever. And a guy I knew from Shoals here was in there, and he's probably a third of my size. And he was finding stuff left and right. And I couldn't find the size that I needed. Don't ask what size that is. It's none of your business. And I was looking through, and I just going down through there, and all the 30s, 2s, 34s, 36s, 38s will stop there. There's just stacks and stacks. But we get up in the 40s and plus and bigger, and there's not much there. And the comment was made. He was there, and he said, "Are you finding anything?" I said, "I haven't worn these clothes since I was like in the third grade." And I was always a stocky kid. I went into Penny's one time, and J.C. Penney's, and I was looking for a suit. And I needed to buy a new suit. I was in the market, and I went in, and this lady was in there, and she, I'm sure, you know, she was the sales lady. But if you remember, you can't even find a J.C. Penney's anymore, but there usually actually was a store, and you could go into the store, and there were salespeople that were there, and they worked on commission. And their job was to try to sell you a suit of clothes or shoes or whatever you were in the market for. And the lady comes out, and she takes one look at me, and she goes, "I see you're portly." And I'm like, "You mean big?" And she says, "Well, the term is portly." And I said, "Well, okay then, I'm portly. I'm a portly plus." And not proud of that by any means. Need to work on that a lot. But I was laughing at myself because, you know, when you're a big kid in the third and fourth grade and it comes time to pick teams for events, and you know, you always got the two older boys that are captains or the two older girls that are the captains, you know, and they're the captain of the whatever team you're going to play. Well, when you're running when they're looking for somebody to be in the relay race, I didn't get picked first. But when we were playing football, I got picked first. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I was the captain because I was the big boy. And being chosen, just you would stand there in line, and you remember what it was like. You'd stand there in line, you'd wait for them to see your value in the sport that you were going to play, and you were waiting to be picked. Man, when you were picked last, it was like, "Man." You didn't want, man, they went down through the list. "I want Bob, Sam, Ralph, Bill," and you know, they wanted the athletic, you know, people. Well, just because I was big, they thought football was my natural ability, and it turns out it wasn't. But, you know, you take up space, and that's what they needed, so. But you wanted to be picked. And your job as the captain was to go through and choose and make your choice. The choices that you made were going to greatly affect the outcome of the game you were about to play. One more time, if you will allow me the opportunity this morning, I want us to go back one more time to Joshua chapter 24. And I promise this will probably be one of the last messages that we'll look at out of this portion of Scripture for a while, unless God changes my mind otherwise. We've been here a lot in the last few times that we've been together. But I want to start. Eli has 24:15 up there, and that is fine. You leave that right there. I'm going to back up just a little bit to 14. I'll read that, and we'll pick up where your screen is at when we get there. Joshua chapter 24. We'll start reading at verse 14. Reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. If you have the King James and the NIV, follow along. It'll be just a little bit different. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship Yahweh. Worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, choose for yourself today the one you will worship. The gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, yours says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will worship Yahweh. The people replied, we will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. For the Lord your God brought us as of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and performed these great signs before our eyes. And He also protected us all along the way and went and among the peoples whose lands we traveled through. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will worship the Lord because He is our God. But Joshua sets him straight right here. He says to them, but Joshua told the people, you will not be able to worship Yahweh because He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not remove your transgressions and sin if you abandon the Lord and worship foreign gods. He will turn against you, harm you, and completely destroy you after He has been good to you. Verse 21, no, the people answered Joshua, we will worship the Lord. Joshua then told the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you yourselves have chosen to worship Yahweh. We are witnesses, they said. Then get rid of your foreign gods that are among you and offer your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. So the people said to Joshua, we will worship the Lord our God and obey Him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people at Shechem and established a statute and ordinance for them. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. He also took a large stone and set it there under an oak next to the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, you see this stone? It will be a great witness against us, for it has heard all the words the Lord said to us, and it will be a witness against you so that you will not deny your God. Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. Dear Heavenly Father, if you will help us for just a few short moments this morning, to say what's on our heart that we feel impressed to say today. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be followers of you that you have called us to be, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The modern church age that we're living in now, in 2022, are being put into a position that is unfamiliar to most of us. Now, the early church, when you look at it, it is not unusual for them to be put into situations. We look at the church in Acts and we look at the early Christians, the followers of Jesus, His disciples, many of them who died martyred deaths. Many of the early Christians persecuted and martyred for their faith. And in this modern church society that we live, we have, for the most part, in the United States and in most countries, been free to worship, been free to serve God and to live for God. Other countries, not so much. Countries that are under dictatorships or under communist regimes or have prominent religions that do not allow Christianity, not so much. Our Christian brothers and sisters around the world have been persecuted. And they have lived in hard times. But as the United States, as Christians in America, at least for the last couple of hundred years, have had it very easy. And I have a feeling deep down in my heart that somewhere along the way, that is starting to erode, and I believe that possibly in my lifetime or the lifetime of my children, things are going to be vastly different in this country than what they have been for us up until now. And Joshua is telling the people here in this portion of Scripture that you are going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to step up to the plate and choose and define the choosing, and it's going to have to be something that you understand. It's not just, oh, I think I'll follow this crowd today, I'll follow this crowd another day, and being wishy-washy and on the fence. But there are some choices that are going to have to be made. Number one is we're going to have to choose what we believe and why we believe it. Now, I'm not going to tell you this here this morning. I'm not going to stand before you this morning and tell you how we are to believe. I believe most of us in this room have a basic knowledge of what it means to believe in God, to serve God, to have faith in Him, to our trust in Him as our Savior. But we're going to have to make a choice. The time is coming that we're going to have to choose, what do I believe? And not just what do I believe, why do I believe it? The time is coming that we're going to have to choose how far we are going to be willing to go for what we believe in. There's going to be a time coming soon and shortly that we're going to have to make a choice. What relationships are we willing to sacrifice for our beliefs? We live in a small community. Many of us have family and friends who are like-minded. But there are some who have family, who have relationships that people do not agree and do not believe the way you are, and we have been able to, for the most part, up until now, settle those differences. They say at the Thanksgiving table to never bring up religion or politics. And it almost always ends up coming up somewhere in the conversation. But can I tell you today that most of us, probably if we have a friendship group of any time, of any size, you know, just look at your followers on Facebook. Okay, get on your device, not right now. You can get on there and get on Facebook, see how many friends you got, check out another one of your friends. So Eric Doan, he's got, you know, and I can see how many friends he's got. You want to see what's, let Eric post something that's just a little bit controversial. I don't want to name them out today because we're on Facebook and things like that, but you know, let someone post something that's just a little controversial. I don't want our church to be tagged as a hate group or a hate organization, but I'll throw one out there. Post this on Facebook. I think that it's every American, legal American, law-abiding American citizen, the right to bear arms. And see what your friends have to say about that. Make a post in your community. Oh my goodness, man. Make a post in your community. Thank God for the overturn of this week's Supreme Court decision. And see what your friend group has to say about that. There is going to be a day when we're going to have to choose what relationships, what friendships are we willing to sacrifice for our beliefs. Well, I'll just choose not to be confrontational. It doesn't matter. You could put on there, thank God for the rain this morning. And there's going to be some joker get on there and say, we, blah, 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 blah. And you know, but the choices are going to have to be made. It's humorous in a way, but yet it's not. It's actually quite frustrating and worrisome. But the day will come when we will have to decide make those choices. We're going to have to be forced to choose. Are we going to be willing to openly stand for our beliefs? Or are we going to hide them? Choices that are going to have to be made. Unfortunately, the answers to these questions, you know, are we going to, what do we believe and why, and how far are we willing to go for our beliefs, and what sacrifices are we willing to sacrifice, and how openly are we going to be able to stand for our beliefs? These answers to these questions are going to result in consequences. You're going to lose friendships. You're going to lose and there's going to be consequences that we may not be ready for. You better buckle up, as my mom used to say. Whenever something was fixing to change, she'd make the statement, you better buckle up. In other words, the ride is about to get long and bumpy. What did Jesus say about persecution? I have some verses here that I want us to look at. They went away for just a minute. John 15:18. You don't have to turn to these. I'll just go through them real quick. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it this way this morning. If you have a Bible with you, raise your hand. Or a device. All right. Someone take John 15:18 real quick. Somebody find John 15:18. Somebody find Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Somebody find Matthew 5:44. John 15:18. Somebody have that? You hear that? It's Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, know that they hated me before they hated you. It's Jesus speaking. Matthew 5:10-12. Amen. Matthew 5:44. Somebody have that one? Luke 6:22. While you're there. I have some of them. Are you seeing a pattern here? We can rejoice in persecution. We can rejoice when we stand for a conviction. When we stand and say, I believe. And people scoff at you and they scorn you and they make fun of you. We can stand in that adversity knowing Christ endured those things and He has given us promise and hope for those who endure. Romans 12:14 says this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Well, that's a tough one. John 16:33, I love this, says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Peter, in his letters, reiterated it. And he said, yet if anyone suffers for the sake of Christ, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Peter also said, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Romans 8:35, and I believe it's Romans 8. Let's try Romans 12. Romans 12:17-21. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In verse 14 that we read here in the scripture today, it says, "Therefore fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of that your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and worship Yahweh." I got curious about who these gods were that Joshua was wanting the children of Israel to abandon, to not follow. And I was very, very intrigued. And this is very important that we catch this morning. When over the last few decades, the world here and the church here, the church has been instructed. We've been mandated by the scriptures to reach the world. The church has been given a commission to reach the world. But somewhere along the way, the lines have become blurred, and the world has so infiltrated the church that in many places you can't tell the difference. So I got to looking at these. Who are these gods of beyond the Euphrates? Who were these gods of the Amorites? Who were these Mesopotamian gods that they were supposed to be leaving and forsaking? And I was so intrigued by this because nowadays in our society, in our churches, churches in America are being so influenced by the outside and not by the Word of God. I thought, well, surely there must be some blatant difference between these foreign gods that they were being told not to abandon, to not worship, and the true God that they were being. I thought, there's gotta be, it's gotta be as different as night and day. The decisions should be simple. So I got to looking at these gods. Anu, the supreme God. Enki, the wisest God. Enlil, the great God of the mountain. Well, we've got a song that says the God of the mountain and the God of the valley. Shamash, the all-seeing God. Nana, the moon God. There was the day God, the night God. The lines are blurred today. The lines are so blurred that we have to choose wisely. And here they were being, I'm trying to make this make sense, but it all sounded good. Does that make sense to you? The gods that they were being told to abandon, it sounded okay. Oh, He's the God of the mountain. He's the valley God. He's the wise God. He's the all-seeing God. And see how easy it is for the lines to get blurred? We teach a loving God. We teach about an all-seeing God, a God who knows, who understands, who cares. And things infiltrate. When you look at the face value of many, and I'm not mad, okay? Please don't leave this morning and say, man, he was in a bad mood. That was yesterday. I couldn't find any pants. Okay? I'm not in a bad mood today. I'm trying to be real with us for just a little bit. Mysticism and New Age philosophies and feel-good mumbo-jumbo has infiltrated the church so much that people aren't making good decisions. Okay, maybe I'm a little bit mad. Know and understand what we believe and why we believe it, and be ready to defend your faith. Because the time is coming that our choices are going to matter. If I've heard it said once in my life, I've heard it said 1,000 times. Especially when you see someone do something and they head down a path that you know is not going to be a good outcome for them. You've heard it too, and you've probably said it. I've said it many times. Well, you live with the choices that you make. My friends, we die with them too. We do live with the choices that we make. One of these days, we're going to die with the choices that we make, and we're going to stand before a holy and righteous God. And our endeavor in life is to stand before Him and hear Him say, "Well done." We live with our choices, but we die with them too. Choose wisely. I'm sorry to leave you on a down note. I wish there was a joke I could tell to get everybody smiling, but there is nothing this morning that comes to mind. We are living in different times, but we are living in exciting times because we have an opportunity more than ever to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to show love, to show compassion, to show mercy, but yet remain strong in our faith in Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, it looked good on paper. It was hard to say. I pray that our words will resonate through our hearts in the days to come. That we will choose to be sold out 100% to You. As moral issues and civil issues and rights and all these things are discussed and debated and confronted in the days to come, and our Christian values are brought into question, we will choose wisely. We give You praise this morning, God. We give You thanksgiving, honor and glory, because You are our risen Savior, and we put our trust, our faith, and our confidence in You, who has gone before and shown us the example. We pray for our country today. We pray for our leaders. We pray for safety on all sides of this situation, because every life is valuable, not just the unborn, but those who are living. God, I pray that You would just bring protection spiritually and physically to those who are challenged. We give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight is dinner and devotions. If I get a nap this afternoon, I'll be in a better mood. I love you. And I want what's best for you and your family, and your church, and this church, and our community. And we must stay strong and we must stay vigilant. Do the work of the Lord. Jill wrote me a note before I came up. We did want to mention this. So many of you have been bringing things for the baby baskets. We appreciate that. We have a couple, I believe. One maybe ahead. And we have some stuff that we have to add. But if anyone, I just want to make a brief reminder of that. If anyone has anything that they want to put towards that, I know we have a couple that we're going to be meeting soon in the community. And all your church extension projects that you're going on, that are going on, remember those. And if God brings it to your memory to support those things and to provide for the different outreach programs that we have, I just want to make them aware to you. And also, if someone has had a baby recently, not yet, please let us know that info so that we can present them with a basket from the church. Dean, are there any other announcements? We're all good. It's 11:17. We've got time to make a developments before the Christian church gets there. God bless you. You're dismissed. And see you tonight for dinner and devotions. Have what?